Welcome to the program God and Country Radio, a program that examines current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. With the new Trump administration, there has been a rash of protests by the losers. And this appears to be the new response in America. If you can't win at the ballot box, at least you can make trouble for the winner by protests and intimidations. Now, years ago, America was less divided ideologically, so that if the opposing ideology won, it wasn't that disconcerting. But now, one side is Sodom and Gomorrah, abortion, LGBT rights, globalism, socialism, and the other side is traditional Christian-based values. There's a culture war in which both sides refuse to live with one another. And it will only get worse. Because peace and unity is only possible under God. And the fruit of the flesh is enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. That's found in Galatians 5:20. And by the way, Paul goes on to write in that text that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, we have these recent protests. And rather than addressing each one of them individually in a series of programs, which I was tempted to do, I would like to sum them all up and do a program today about protests in general. Now, by way of review, first there was the Women's March in Washington and in many other cities in conjunction with Donald Trump's inauguration. This was staffed and organized by Planned Parenthood, the National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League, and a dozen or so other feminist organizations. The platform of the protest was to oppose any plans by the new administration to defund Planned Parenthood and to support the LGBT movement. Those who believed or who attended these protests, thinking they were about being pro-woman, were simply naive. God is pro-women. He made women, but he was not represented in any of these protests. And these women protesters wore pink hats in a certain shape. And they were called by a name that I'm not allowed to say on the air, according to the FCC. Which tells you all you need to know about that protest. Then on February 16th, there was the Day Without Immigrants protest, where immigrants were encouraged not to go to work. This was created by a number of activist groups who were for open borders and sanctuary cities. The platform was a demand for non-enforcement of immigration laws and to support sanctuary cities. The motivation was to elicit public opinion against immigration enforcement by the new administration. Then, not to be outdone, on March the 8th, there was the Day Without Women protest, where now women were encouraged not to go to work for a day. And this was promoted by the same people behind the inauguration protest and also a pro-abortion feminist organization called International Women Strike. In the words of George Orwell, some things are so absurd that only intellectuals could believe them. Or rather, in the words of the Apostle Paul, we were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now let me answer some objections to my assessments here. Some might complain, well, don't these women have a right to protest? The right to assemble? Absolutely, according to the law of the land. But let's not talk about constitutional rights. Let's talk about what is right before God. I mean, there are plenty of things that are allowed in America that are an abomination in the sight of God. And someone might also complain, aren't these protests a righteous affirmation of womanhood, the empowerment of women? How could I deem them to be foolish or unrighteous? I mean, after all, what's wrong with people expressing their own significance? Well, how about Proverbs 27:2? Let another praise you, not your own mouth. Or Proverbs 25:27. It is not good to search out one's own glory. Or James chapter 4, verse 6. God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. Or 2 Corinthians 10:18. For it is not he who commends himself who is approved, but he who the Lord commends. And Jeremiah 48:29. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud. Of his haughtiness, his pride, his arrogance, and self-exaltation. So even this would be a crime if we're only viewing these protests as simply the affirmation of womanhood. But it's much more. Everyone knows that these protests were about demanding the right to abortion, the government funding of Planned Parenthood, the affirmation and support of LGBT. These were the ideologies and the groups behind these protests. Now, if you're like me, the more protests you see on the news, the more you're growing to despise protests. It's arrogance, it's pride, it's rebellion on display. Protests turn my stomach, and the stomach of many in the Christian community. And that's a good thing. We can learn what not to do from the bad example of the ungodly. Let me give you four reasons for the rise of protests in our generation, and in this we can see why they are antithetical to the way of Christ. Number one, people protest because they want to find significance. They want to have a moral crusade. Non-Christians do not involve themselves in the Great Commission to disciple people in the gospel, but they still want to do something that's morally significant because we're all moral creatures. They want to say, I made a difference in my life by marching for civil rights in the civil rights movement. I was on the right side of history. I want to bring about social justice in the world. So these protests are not simply about the issue itself, but a need for personal significance. This is personal therapy. But as Christians, our significance is found in Jesus Christ. And he who exalts himself shall be humbled. Matthew 23:12. Second, a driving force behind protests is to influence political governance. Since we live in this crazy nation where moral laws are now determined by the will of majority, that might makes right, rather than appealing to God's natural and written law, people want to win by outvoting, outshouting, outfunding their opponent. Because that's what moves politicians to vote your way. It's all about puffing yourself up like a blowfish to scare the opponent. And the whole method is unbiblical. Ecclesiastes 9:17. The words of the wise, heard in quietness, are better than the shouting of rulers among fools. And take the example of Jesus. Matthew chapter 12:19. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. The imagery or the metaphor there is in not doing violence to get his righteous work accomplished. Now, this might sound unconventional, but hear me out here. Have you ever considered that working behind the scenes in a quiet way is the best way to defeat the enemy? Protesting makes a lot of noise. It gives protesters a sense of satisfaction. But by protesting, you also let the enemy know what you're doing. You expose your size and your agenda. And it actually does more to rally and motivate the enemy to oppose you. It also annoys the general public. Often it makes you look odious in the eyes of the public. And protesting undermines the moral authority of one's movement. Better is quiet strength, working behind the scenes in the grassroots, so the enemy doesn't even know what hit them. And notice that Jesus and his disciples never protested Rome. But by one-on-one evangelism, over a period of less than 300 years, Christianity took down the Roman Empire. So there is some great wisdom in Ecclesiastes 9:17. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among many fools. So if protests are a negative, an unrealized negative for any cause, let's let the opponents of God unwittingly shoot themselves in the foot by protesting. Now, I personally have come to the place that I enjoy seeing the left protest because history shows that protests never help a person's cause. There was a recent article in the Atlantic Journal entitled "Why Street Protests Don't Work." And there was also a CNBC article entitled "Why Anti-Trump Protesters Are Making a Huge Mistake." So let's hope few on the left have read those articles. And let's be wise enough to realize protests may make you feel good, but they also may hurt your cause. Number three. People protest to find camaraderie and moral strength in numbers. And there is good camaraderie and there is evil camaraderie. The Bible encourages God's people to fellowship, to have koinonia, to be together in one accord to find moral support. But there's also much in the scripture about evil unifying together to find common purpose. Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow a multitude in doing evil. In Romans 1:32, the homosexuals, the unrighteous, the wicked, the haters of God, not only practice such things, but they give hearty approval to those who practice such things with them. It is convicting to fight God alone, but if you can find the moral support of others, it justifies the rebellion in one's mind. A mob will be emboldened to do what an individual would never do. In Genesis 19, the homosexuals in Sodom who attacked Lot and his family, they came as a group, all people from every quarter. Then there was the mob at Ephesus. Demetrius gathered together all the workmen in his trade to protest Christianity. The family of Korah came up against Moses as an assembly because there is this illusion of having human strength in numbers. But they didn't have God on their side. And always remember, just you and God make a majority. In Acts 4, all the people and the leaders in Jerusalem gathered together against your holy servant Jesus. And then there is the protest of all protests. The final protest of man. Revelation chapter 20, verse 8. Gog and Magog and many other people groups come up on the broad plain of the earth and surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire comes down from heaven and devours them. Now that is a failed protest. But throughout history, evil makes common cause together against God and his righteousness. even as we see in these massive annual gay pride parades. So expect protests against the godly values of Christianity to be the norm in these last days. So by way of review, protests are motivated by those trying to find significance, those trying to be involved in a moral cause. Protests are used to influence the political system, and protests are used to find strength in numbers. Finally, number four, protests are used to repay evil for evil, which is a method that is antithetical to the Christian mandate written out in Romans chapter 12. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, of course, we know that the ungodly are trying to defeat the good. But they perceive the good as evil, and so they are trying to overcome what they perceive as evil with evil. Not necessarily criminal evil, but the evil of disruption, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, intimidations. It's the pouting child who doesn't get his way, or the one who lashes out if he can't get his way. And Christians are not to repay evil for evil. Even if the current administration does something wrong, we're not to change the world by repaying evil with evil. Take, for example, the Day Without Women. Even if our government were abusing women, the Christian ethic is not to cheat your employer or your nation to get recognition or to communicate a grievance. Ephesians chapter 6, slaves, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. The way we protest is by doing good. How about all women putting in an unpaid hour of overtime to express appreciation for all those who provide the jobs and the infrastructure so they can work? But you and I know the world doesn't think that way. The world believes that the way to change the world for good is to fight evil with evil. So now, with these four errors behind protesting, the Christian community ought to be motivated to avoid protesting at all costs. Even Christian protests ought to turn our stomach. A rally, a meeting, okay, if it's done with the right spirit. But not a protest like the world. But here is what happens. Christians are saved out of the world. They've been well socialized by the world. So the first thing they do to accomplish the work of the Lord is to copy the techniques of the world. If the world yells loudly and puts signs in people's face, then we will yell louder and put bigger signs in people's face. But what we should do is wipe the slate clean and discover how God wants us to be the salt and the light in this world. To have both a righteous cause and to also use the right methods. Now, I've observed quite a few Christian protests in my time. And the organizers of these Christian protests clearly admit that they want to use fear and intimidation to promote righteousness. I've heard some Christian leaders say, "We're going to show these politicians that we have a voice. And we're going to make them think twice about passing this or that." And I have seen Christians lift their signs, pumping their fists in the air, shouting, "Hey ho, such and such a law has to go." And as Jesus told his disciples, "You do not know what kind of a spirit you are of." I know what some of my Christian brothers would say about this program. They would say, if we don't stand up, if we don't speak out, if we don't protest, we will be marginalized by the world. And my response is that you're still thinking as to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Not only do we have a different message than the world, we have a different method. As I read the New Testament, I never see the apostles, by either teaching or by example, protesting the Roman government or protesting a social injustice. Now you might say, well, they couldn't get away with it back then. Well, since when did the law of man ever stop the apostles from obeying the law of God? If Christ's way to change the Roman Empire was to organize into mobs, to carry signs, to chant slogans, I'm sure the apostles would have done that. And we would have received that instruction in the epistles. Instead, what did the early Christians do? And that should speak volumes to us. They didn't pick up signs to protest abortion. They picked up and cared for the abandoned infants in the streets. And by their love and by their humility, they reaped coals of fire upon the heads of the ungodly, which was far more effective. And furthermore, by faith, we should understand that we have something more powerful than protesting. Jesus said, I go away, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will convict the world concerning sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We need to have confidence in the power of the word and in the power of the Spirit. We don't need Christian pride parades to match gay pride parades. And I've actually heard some Christians say we need to do that. That we're fighting over territory or we're fighting for space in the public square. And if we don't fight, our religion will be taken away from us. Peter, put away the sword or anything like the sword. Let the truth of God do the work. The word of God is like a lion. All we have to do is let it out of the cage. Like the Apostle Paul, let's be in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And let not our message and our preaching be with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that people's faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or download it. We always make our archives of messages free of charge. From the website, you can also email me with questions, comments, insights. I'd love to hear from you. That's godandcountryradio.org. And if you email me, I will send you a weekly one-paragraph synopsis of each upcoming program. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so filled with the world, and we're so conformed to this world, that we grieve your heart at every turn. Transform us by the word. Renew our mind into the mind of Christ so that we will be able to do the perfect will of God on earth as it's done in heaven. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.